This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillah wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. Continuing from our previous video in which I explained that the nature of Islamic law, of interpretive Islamic law, is speculative, it is zanni. Building upon that, how do we handle differences of opinion? This is a very important topic that I believe in our time especially, a lot of people have misunderstood this topic and gone far away from the Sunnah and the actual methodology of the early Muslims in handling differences of opinion. We often find in our times that people treat their opinions in fiqh or the opinions of their teachers as if it is absolute, as if it is qat'i, as if it is directly from the Quran, with no room for any kind of difference. And they try to intimidate and bully people into following their opinions and shame people for following a different opinion. And this makes life very difficult for the average Muslim. We go back to the statement of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullah that we mentioned in the previous video, where he said that the differences amongst the Sahaba are there to make Islam easy for us, so that the religion is not too rigid. That when there is a difference of opinion, this leaves some room for flexibility. So how do we deal then with these differences, especially if the difference is on whether something is haram or not? So we have to make a few distinctions here. Right, number one, distinguish between what is clearly haram by consensus, like zina and alcohol and homosexual acts. These are prohibited by consensus. Here there is no room for difference of opinion. Here the correct opinion is enforced. Here we will command the good, we will forbid the evil, we will make it clear that violating these rules will not be tolerated. We can make people feel bad for violating these rules. You can literally, in an Islamic country, it wouldn't be wrong, it would actually be right to create a culture where people feel ashamed of committing these sins. Right? I know for some people living in the West, this sounds weird, but this is the culture we're supposed to create, a one where people feel ashamed of committing sins. But we have to distinguish between these laws, which are clear-cut and agreed upon across the board, and things which are matters of difference of opinion, things which are speculative, big things which are zanni. And this is where many of us mess up, because when it comes to zanni or speculative issues, issues that are open to difference of opinion, you cannot force your opinion on someone else if they are following a legitimate opinion. You cannot take your opinion and force it on other Muslims because there is clearly a difference of opinion on this matter. So for example, if there was a sport that was invented in a Muslim land, or a type of game that was invented in a Muslim land, and some people believe that that game or that sport is haram, and they have their reasons, it's wasting time, it's addictive, some people are using it for gambling, whatever it is, they have their reasons, so they believe it to be haram. Another group of scholars looks at the same sport and or the same game, and they say that things are halal by default, as long as you avoid these certain things, there's nothing wrong with it. And so now you have two opinions. You have some scholars saying it's halal, some scholars saying it's haram. This happens a lot nowadays, right? There's a lot of fiqh issues nowadays where this happens. What do you do in this case? You can teach your opinion, you can preach your opinion, you could make your opinion the opinion that has to be followed in your home, where you are the head of the household, but you can't force it on anyone else. Meaning, for example, if you believe a certain game is haram based on qiyas, based on a speculative deduction, and someone else believes that it's halal also based on qiyas, you have to just let them be. You have to let them follow the opinion that they believe is correct. And these days, Muslims seem to find this very hard. honestly, the majority of things that we fight about on a daily basis are not the things that are definitive. Right? We don't find Muslims fighting on a daily basis about Salah being five times a day, or Ramadan being the month of fasting, or that zina is haram. These are the big ones. These are the things that, yes, it's clear, right, that what is right and what is wrong. What we fight over on a daily basis, and I've seen families break ties over this, I've seen communities break up over this, I've seen people written out of the fold of Islam over these things, are often secondary matters which are speculative in nature. So in a Sharia land, how would these things be handled? Well, there's two levels here. One, if it affects the rights of others, then if it is taken to the court and the qadi passes a judgment, then that judgment can be enforced. Even if that judgment is a result of qiyas, of a speculative deduction, right? Because the qadi has to have this power, otherwise what's the point of a qadi? What's the point of a judge if they have no power to enforce rulings? So it's only when something affects the rights of others and it's taken to a court level that a judgment could be made that can be enforced on those individuals. It wouldn't necessarily be enforced on the entire community, but on that specific case. So for example, if there is a business dealing that some people consider halal and others consider makruh and others consider haram, and one person feels like he was tricked into that kind of dealing and he didn't know the ruling at the time, and he takes it to the court and the court declares it to be haram and declares the other person that the transaction is invalid and the other person has to give him his money back, in that case it can be enforced, or it will be enforced. In that case it will be enforced because this is now a court case involving the rights of others. That's very different from day-to-day fiqh, from things that don't involve the rights of others. So for example, if you were living in a Sharia land and you were of the opinion that dressing in a certain way is not permissible, and that opinion is based on your understanding of the Sunnah, right? Like for example, some Muslims are of the opinion that you have to dress like an Arab or an Indian, and that dressing in Western clothing is not permissible. This is an opinion that exists. I don't believe in it, but it is an opinion that exists. So if somebody has that opinion and they see somebody else dressed in Western clothing, but their aura is covered, they meet all the minimal legal obligations, they cannot force their opinion on that person. Even if they are a judge, even if they are a mufti, they cannot now say that the entire country, the entire Muslim world, has to follow my opinion on this matter. Sharia doesn't work like that. Sharia is only strict on those matters that are definitive, agreed upon, major sins and crimes. Right? Something that's definitive, something that's agreed upon, something that's a major sin, and something that counts as a crime. These are the areas where the Sharia will really force laws on people. Otherwise, people are left to live their lives. And people are left to follow their understandings of Islam. And people are left to follow their madhabs. And people are left to follow their groups. And people are left to follow their local scholars. And nothing is enforced on a person beyond this. So you could live your life in a proper Sharia land according to whichever school of thought you follow. Nobody can now come and say, oh, you have to follow our school of thought. So in our times, we have a problem in both the Muslim lands and the non-Muslim lands. In the Muslim lands, we have governments making laws and claiming that it's Sharia. And one of the mistakes they make is they will take an opinion and they would force it on the entire community and they will say this is the Sharia. But in reality, that opinion is just their own speculative judgment. This is not permissible. A government in Islam is not supposed to have the power to meddle with the Sharia, right, and to force their opinions on an entire community like this. This is actually the opposite of how Sharia functions. But we see this, like a government could say that, oh, in our opinion, it's haram for women to drive. Well, if the majority of people in your community, or even if a minority, are following a different opinion, guess what? This is not a clear-cut issue. There are other opinions, right? To force this opinion on the entire community can be an act of oppression. It's something that goes against how Sharia is supposed to be practiced. So these things should be left to the people to follow the opinions that they believe is strongest. It should not be something that a government just forces on people to follow whatever opinion they believe is correct. This is one of the causes of problems in our time. You know, we are living in one of the only points in history, the past 100 years, one of the only points in history where Muslims really feel pressurized by tyrannical governments. And one of the reasons for this is that governments now have control over the law. For the bulk of Muslim history, even when they were tyrants in power, they did not have control over the law itself. Right? They had to follow the Sharia. Yes, they would try to find loopholes, and they would sometimes just ignore the Sharia when dealing with their enemies, but they couldn't enforce their opinions on people without pushback from the people, from the public. Right? Like if a ruler tried to change the rules of Jum'ah or Eid or something like this, people would push back. It wouldn't be something where the government has the right to change it. Rather, it is the ulama that interpret the law, not the government. So this is the problem in the Muslim lands. In the non-Muslim lands, we have a different problem, that because we live as minorities in non-Muslim lands, as a defense mechanism to protect our people from losing their religion and losing their culture, we tend to become over strict about things that Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam were not strict about. And so then we make the religion unnecessarily difficult on our people. And I've seen this in many minorities, that they tend to be strict about things that people are not strict about in the Muslim world. They tend to enforce rulings on their communities on matters that are considered secondary in the Muslim world and considered secondary historically. And so we find that there's a lot of rigidity in how fiqh is applied and understood amongst minorities, that we seem to think that we have to follow the harshest opinions and force it on our communities, otherwise they would get caught up in the culture of the non-Muslims and become more like them. That's not a good move, because when you push people too hard and when you make Allah's religion unnecessarily restrictive, it's going to push people in the opposite direction. It's going to have a slingshot effect on people, pushing them from one extreme to the other. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us. He said the religion is easy and the extremists make it difficult on themselves. Right? The extremists make it difficult on themselves. So we need to have a more balanced view here. When something is clear cut, when something is definitive, when something is a matter of consensus, then yes, we should be strict about it. We should enforce it. We should call people out when they do it. We should, you know, stay away from people that are trying to change those rulings. But when something's a matter of dispute, when something is speculative, when something is a matter where there's different opinions in different madhabs, different cultures, different parts of the Muslim world, then just let people be. Just let people follow the opinion that they believe is strongest. And do not try to force your opinion on them, because doing so unnecessarily restricts that which Allah made vast. And it takes a religion that is meant to be very practical and makes it unnecessarily restricted. So these are the two issues in our time. On one hand, we may have governments who are trying to interpret the Sharia and end up making it unnecessarily restrictive. And then on the other hand, when Muslims are living away from such governments, we have the people themselves trying to make the religion unnecessarily difficult on themselves and their families. We have to go back to the way Islam was practiced for the bulk of its history, which is that there are certain things that we are strict about, the major sins, the obligations, that which there is consensus upon. But beyond that, if there's a difference of opinion, I follow my opinion, you follow your opinion, and we do not get personal about it, we do not make it a big deal. That is really how the Sharia function for the bulk of our history, that you would find Muslims of all madhabs and all sects living together in the Muslim world. And yes, there were incidents of sectarian violence and outbreaks here and there, but for the bulk of our history, they lived together and they were able to just follow their understandings of Islam without anyone trying to force their understanding on everyone else. Now, I know some of you are going to bring up incidents in history, like when the Mu'tazilites came into power and they tried to force their views on others. These are the exceptions. These are people who did not understand the religion, and that's why their stories stand out, because it's an anomaly. It's not how things were practiced for the bulk of our history, right? For the bulk of our history, if there was a difference of opinion, it was not enforced unless it involved the rights of others. If it involved the rights of others and it went to court, then the Qadi could pass a judgment. And when the Qadi passes a judgment on something, then it is enforced. Otherwise, people followed whichever opinion they believed was strongest. They followed the local scholars. And if there was a difference of opinion, each group followed their opinion and they learned to live together in peace, understanding that this Sharia is wide enough to encompass all of these opinions. And Allah knows best. JazakAllah khairan wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.